Hello, listeners. If you're hearing this, I'm going to assume you're at least interested in money and understanding the economy and finances. And some of us want our kids to have that knowledge, too. Check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. You can learn more at greenlight.com/million. And tune in to Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcast.
An amazing, although widely predicted thing happened in the American economy today. Money once again has a price.
Federal Open Market Committee decided to raise the target range for the federal funds rate by 0.25 percentage point, bringing it to 0.25 to 0.5%.
You can quibble all you want that, yeah, it's only a quarter point, and quibble we will later on, I promise, but come on. 10 years since the last rate hike, 7 years since Lehman Brothers. This is the first official sign of economic normal we have had around here in a good long while. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace. In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Ryssdal. Today is the 16th of December, 2015. It's a Wednesday. Good as always to have you here, everybody. I mention the year because it is worth noting today's date with some degree of specificity. And I realize that this is a lot to read into one meeting of one central bank at one point in time. But the fact is that what the Federal Reserve did today was close the door on the financial crisis. Because for almost a decade, the Fed has been, and there might not be a better word for it, really, they have been messing with the economy in ways they never have before. Bailouts and free money and bond buying and all the rest. And now, today, they stopped because they believe that while things aren't completely great, and yes, we will get to what Janet Yellen actually said today in just a second, but they believe that even though things aren't great, they are normal again. And it's time for things like interest rates to work like they're supposed to. So, the details. First of all, from Janet Yellen, the good news.
So let me start by saying that I feel confident about the fundamentals driving the U.S. economy, the health of U.S. households and domestic spending.
And then the however.
There are pressures on some sectors of the economy, particularly manufacturing and the energy sector, reflecting global developments and developments in commodity markets and energy markets.
And then the double back to finish on a high note.
But the underlying health of the U.S. economy, I consider to be quite sound.
You know how for a couple of weeks now, analysts have been saying the Fed's rate hike was priced in on Wall Street? Yeah, what do the analysts know? Traders were bullish on the Fed today. The happy music when we get there. People have been asking me all week, and by people I mean mostly you on Twitter and Facebook, about what happens now. How fast are things going to change once the Fed makes its decision? Well, here you go. The ink was barely dry on the press release before the big banks reacted. Wells Fargo, U.S. Bancorp, and J.P. Morgan Chase all bumped up their prime rates a quarter percentage point. So the changes have already started. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson looks now at some other parts of the trickle-down.
So, yes, some interest rates are already rising. Others, it might take hours, days, maybe even weeks for the implications to sink in. Lots of the global economy is affected by this federal funds rate, either directly or indirectly, says Carl Tenenbaum. He's the chief economist at Northern Trust.
It affects virtually all equity markets around the world. It affects currency markets. It affects interest rate markets. And it could trigger other policy actions elsewhere in the world.
It's just that the Fed doesn't have some magic button that will raise all interest rates the same quarter of a percent all at once. Take the interest rates paid on a savings account, for example.
You know, interest rates on savings should go up. Of course, the amount and the timing with which those go up are a matter of supply and demand.
And for mortgages, Vincent Reinhart is with the American Enterprise Institute.
Both up, adjustable rate and fixed rate mortgages. The adjustable rate goes up more at first.
That's what we typically expect when the Fed raises rates. But markets don't always behave the way we might predict. For example, that mortgage rate.
I have home buyers now that are looking to close their transactions in January, and I have been actually advising them to hold off. And I don't see a huge rush of people going out to buy homes before this rate hike.
Rocky Andrews is a mortgage loan originator in Arizona and the president of the National Association of Mortgage Brokers. He says adjustable rate mortgages, they might go up after the Fed raises its federal funds rate. But longer term mortgages, like the 30-year fixed, he thinks it may actually go down a little.
Keep in mind that I've been wrong before, so that's what I tell my borrowers.
And historical precedent, it's not any better at helping us figure out how the Fed's decision will ripple out. Robert Schiller is an economics professor at Yale.
It's just hard to judge these things because history does not provide clean examples. This is a major turning point. If after so many years of zero interest rates, it's actually going to be something that matters, that's a big turning point, and we don't have history to guide us on what to expect.
Normally, increasing rates a tiny quarter of a percent, yawn, sigh, snooze. And this move was very well telegraphed. But because it's the first increase after so many years, it may carry a bit more weight. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
One piece of tape from Yellen today that we did not play you was her basically saying, look, this should not come as a surprise to anybody. All right, anyway, moving on. There is the housing slice from Tracy of what today's Fed decision means. We convened a special edition of our Friday Wrap to talk through some of the rest of it, some of your questions. Felix Hammond is from Fusion. Neela Richardson is at Redfin. Hey, everybody.
Hi, Kai.
Good afternoon.
All right, so we're going to start with you, Neela, and it's going to be not quite a lightning round, but we will move briskly because there's a lot of information. The first question is from a guy by the name of Todd Vrieselaar. He's from Iowa. This is his question.
Wouldn't it be better to hold until January? Would a December raise make markets and investments sour at year end?
Fundamentally, why now, Neela?
Why now? I guess the real reason is why not. And because the Fed has basically said for the last several weeks that now is the time. And a big part of the messaging of the Fed is giving people benchmarks for when they will raise. And we've seen in the past when they've missed a time, when they said they were going to raise and they didn't, markets didn't like it much. This time it's about credibility. They said they were going to do it. And by golly, they did it. The labor market has improved enough. Inflation is okay enough for them to do it now rather than wait.
So they did. All right.
But the exact question about like why December rather than January and the year-end thing, the Fed doesn't care about your year-end figures. And actually, for the stock market, the year has been fantastic. This has been a great year for stocks. And so if there's any decrease in the stock market, which I seriously doubt there will be given how well telegraphed this whole thing was, now's probably not a bad year to have a little year-end decrease. Next year might be much worse.
Lovely. All right, Felix, next question goes to you. We're going to go to Ramey Humbert from Arizona. He asked this question. It's about the dollar.
How will the Fed's interest rate rise impact the strong dollar, which has hurt U.S. exporters?
Felix, you get that one.
Higher rates mean stronger dollar. Interest rates basically, more than anything else, determine the strength of a currency. And at the margin, the higher the interest rates are, yes, the stronger the dollar is going to get. We are only talking about a quarter point here, so it's not a huge thing. But if they continue to raise through 2016, yeah, it's going to make a difference.
Is it going to make a difference, though, do you think, in actual economic performance here, Felix?
Well, it's going to mean that life is harder for exporters and life is easier for importers, right? So if you're an importer, if you're Apple, say, and you're manufacturing your computers in China, you're happy. It all depends on, you know, it's good for some people and bad for others.
As with most things in capitalism.
It's good for those of us who like going on holiday to Europe.
Well, yes, it is. All right, Neela, this one comes from Stephanie Bell in Massachusetts. It's about her savings account and buying a house. Here you go.
My husband and I were looking to buy a house. How will our savings accounts be affected?
guess I kind of gave away the question. But what's it going to sound like? I mean, what's it going to look like?
Good news for savers. They had the bad part of this whole accommodative easing Fed policy for way too long, which what it meant effectively is that savers didn't get a big interest return on their deposits. Now, if you're trying to save for a down payment, you finally might get some lift off, but don't expect it right away. There's still some debate out there by commentators of whether the big banks will raise interest rates on the deposits in lockstep with the Fed decision today. But eventually, you'll see a higher return on that deposit. And that's good news if you're saving for a house.
All right. Fair enough. Felix, this next one's for you. It's from Chris Whetstone. And it's kind of a big question, actually, in a very sort of meta kind of way. Here you go.
Is this as important as we are led to believe it is anymore to anyone besides policy wonks and big financials?
Not to insinuate that you're a policy wonk, Felix, but it did seem geared for you.
This is a complete non-event. Like, there's really no reason for any normal person to care about this. We've moved from rates at 0.25% to rates at 0.25%-ish, more or less. They're still basically zero, and they're going to be very low for as far as the eye can see. The big picture in terms of how much you pay for your credit card or your car loan or your student loan or your mortgage, none of those are changing. And so, no, it has no actual effect on day-to-day life.
None of those are changing yet.
Right.
So if they continue to hike through 2016, perhaps they might change. But we're talking about those are long-term interest rates, and we don't really know. Maybe in order to keep long-term interest rates down, the Fed needs to raise short-term interest rates. That's possible. All I'm saying is that these little changes that the Fed is making to overnight rates don't affect normal human beings.
Neela, you were going to jump in here.
Yes, I agree with that, except I would like to note that the rate hike itself doesn't make much of a difference, but the reason for the hike matters a lot. And the reasons for subsequent hikes will matter a lot. Right now, we're not seeing the kind of inflation we need. Some of that is because of the drop in oil prices, but a lot of it is because wages aren't growing. And the reason why people are not seeing the economy improve or feeling it is their paychecks aren't getting any larger. That's got to change to justify any subsequent rate hikes.
I think we leave it there. Felix Hammond from Fusion and Neela Richardson from Redfin. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Thanks, Guy.
More of your questions and our answers at marketplace.org. We talk to a cattle rancher named Ken Lennox every now and again. He's got about 1,800 acres out in Rolla, Missouri, land that's been in his family for something like five generations. He's been working it since he came back from the Marine Corps in 1965, so for a long time. Usually, we ask him about how the herd's doing or what the weather's like, but he's been around for a while. He's seen a lot of stuff. So we called him up the other day to ask him what he thinks about the Fed and interest rates.
Interest rates are not like they used to be. When I started, I paid a great deal of attention to them. It's huge for the average farmer, especially at the beginning. Now, when I started, in the 1980s, I paid as much as 21.5% interest, and for years it was over 15%. It really it cut into whatever plans you had. Everything you did had taxes and interest rates involved with it. The average farmer and rancher, whether he's buying equipment or replacement stock or trying to increase their herd, so they're borrowing money to do it. It has a huge impact on your long-term finances, as well as the short-term.
Ken Lennox, our rancher friend out in Rolla, Missouri. Coming up.
The only thing we can do is just stay true to who we are and what we've been, and they will come like Field of Dreams, but with pie.
Everything's better with pie, even higher interest rates. But first, let's do the numbers. The Dow Industrial is up 224 points on this Federal Reserve Day, 1.25%, 17,749. The NASDAQ gained 75 points, about 1.5%, 5,071 there. The S&P 500 up 29 points, 1.4%, ended things at 2,073. Take a quick break from Federal Reserve news, shall we? A big budget deal in the offing on Capitol Hill would delay or suspend some taxes related to the Affordable Care Act for a couple of years and also extend a bunch of tax credits, including some that benefit the solar sector. That last bit was welcome news for investors in solar power. Of course, Solar Edge Technologies rose 17%, SunPower Corporation up 14% today. Quick check on housing. It was a good month last month for housing starts in the U.S. The Commerce Department also reported that housing permits hit a five-month high in November. Home builders thus gained. Lennar and D.R. Horton both hammered up about 2.5%. Bond prices fell. The yield on the 10-year T-note rose to 2.29%. I personally would have expected higher, but what are you going to do? You're listening to Marketplace. Marketplace is listener-supported, so please, to keep our coverage relevant and compelling, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at Marketplace.org by December 31st, and thanks. This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. All right, so take a minute for me and think about where we were the last time the Fed raised interest rates. Average price of a gallon of gas in June 2006 was just under $3. Today, it's almost a full dollar cheaper per gallon. The median price of a new home was $243,000 back then. Today, just over $281,000. Also, in June 2006, the word Google, this is my favorite actually, the word Google was officially added to the Oxford English Dictionary as a verb, all of which is to say that it's been a while. Listener Kenny Stone in California asks the relevant question.
I am interested in learning more about how the Federal Reserve actually raises and lowers interest
Marketplace's
rates.
Marketplace's Free Benishore tells us how it's actually different this time.
So imagine for a second all the money flying around the economy right now. Maybe it's payday at Google. Maybe Kim Kardashian just bought a handbag with her debit card. If you're a bank, you can't be caught with your pants down. You have to be ready for this by having some quick cash set aside.
Banks had to meet level of required reserve.
Krista Schwartz teaches at Wharton. Banks keep this extra cash at the Fed. They have to by law. And in the olden days, 10 years ago, sometimes banks didn't have quite enough quick cash, or sometimes they had too much. So they'd help each other out.
They would borrow and lend to one another based on, you know, the inflows and outflows to their own accounts on each given day.
And they'd charge each other interest. This interest rate was the minimum basic interest rate in the whole economy. And it is this interest rate and this system of quick cash for banks that the Fed could control. It could suck cash out of this fast cash system, or it could inject cash in.
Supply and demand really was how they moved the rate higher and lower.
Now, here's the problem. During the recession, the Fed pumped so much cash into the bank's quick cash system that banks don't need quick cash now, no matter how many handbags Kim Kardashian buys.
These banks are completely awash in trillions of dollars worth of excess reserves, so nobody needs to borrow anything.
And if for some reason they do borrow or lend to each other, the interest rate would be pretty much zero. So what can the Fed do now to raise rates when their tool is broken?
Now it's a different game. It all works differently.
Joe Gagnon is with the Peterson Institute.
This time what they're going to do is they're going to pay banks more interest on the reserves they own.
Yes, he said the Fed is going to pay banks. It will pay them interest on all that cash they've hoarded in their accounts at the Fed. Now, why would they do this? Well, because
banks won't lend for less than that, hopefully.
If a bank can earn good interest by keeping their cash safely at the Fed, they're not going to lend to anyone else for less than that amount.
And that will raise all other interest rates.
The Fed is going to do this with more than just banks. It's going to offer short-term investments to some other big institutions like mutual funds and insurance companies or Freddie and Fannie, so they can also earn money from the Fed. How, you might ask, can the Fed afford to pay out all this money?
They have assets. Those are the treasury bonds and mortgage bonds that they bought.
They bought trillions worth of these assets during the recession, and all those assets are paying interest. The Fed can use that to pay banks and other institutions.
So they have a long way to go before they would be paying more interest than they're earning.
Also, it's the Fed, so they can just create money if they wanted to. But the bottom line is that the Fed is trying to offer the minimum safest rate in the economy. And ideally, nobody will lend for less than that. How well these new tools work, we'll find out. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore.
What's that line? Those who don't remember the past are doomed to repeat it. June 2006, the last time the Fed raised was a long, long time ago. See how we've changed, mostly for the better, I think, at marketplace.org. Felix said it earlier, and I'm going to say it again right here. We all need to remember that today's rate hike was just a quarter of a percent. Not that big a deal in and of itself. But the economy doesn't work just in and of itself. It's got that human factor to deal with, how we feel about what's going on, including the Fed raising rates even a measly quarter point. So yesterday, before the hike was announced, obviously, but confident that it would come, we went out to a small business here in L.A. that we have talked about before.
Hey, how are you, Jeff? Good to see you.
It's a place called The Pie Hole. Sean Brennan and Lindsay Hefner opened the shop in 2011 during the, well, shall we say, weaker parts of the recovery, betting that people would want comfort food in times that maybe weren't so comforting. We went over there to hear what they had to say about one of the biggest signs so far that we have firmly left the recession in the past.
How's business?
Business is great. We're in the middle of pie season right now. So
There's a pie season?
There is a pie season. When the weather turns cold, comfort food.
Halloween through New Year's, you know, we have Thanksgiving and all the holidays and stuff, so people really dig into pie.
So here we are in a place that kind of depends on disposable income, right? Janet Yellen is about to, in a very small way, take away some disposable income from some people. Mm-hmm. Do you care? Are you noticing?
Honestly, I feel like this news of the interest rates on top of everything else does feel a little much, because there's just rising costs of everything. We have to look next year that there's health care, minimum wage is going up, the farming industry got hit really hard with the drought, so all of those prices have increased. So the impact, we don't quite know. We're, you know, hoping for the best, but you know, what we've been saying is the only thing we can do is just stay true to who we are and what we've been, and they will come like Field of Dreams, but with pie.
Yeah, well, hopefully the change is incremental. It's not a huge adjustment right away. Because even if it doesn't actually hit the economy very hard, people's perception of it hitting hard can change consumer spending. So
we asked, as we always do, if we could bug some of their customers for a second to see what they had to say. Lindsay hooked us up.
Everybody, this is
Kai. Hi. I work for Marketplace Public Radio Program.
Mary Murray's a teacher in the LA Unified School District. She was having a cup of coffee and some pie with her husband.
What do you do, Mary?
I'm a teacher for LAUSD.
Fed's going to raise interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, for us, we would like to be able to, you know, do something like purchase a house. And that's going to affect us for sure, because we already can't. So that's kind of where we're at. I mean, we talk about it all the time, but we're not ready yet. And now if interest rates are going to go up, that puts us in a bad position.
But it's only going to be a lousy quarter point, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's not like
just a quarter point.
Right. So, you know, it's not that big a deal.
Well, except for that we have student loan debt, too. So that's the big thing. We are, I hesitate to say drowning in student loan debt, but we're dog paddling at the, you know, I mean, we're keeping our head above the surface.
Give me a number.
Oh, God. But combine the both of us, he's got 80 all by himself.
And you've got?
I'm down to like 15,000. So, yeah.
Yes. Aaron Murray.
Aaron Murray. And what do you do?
I am also a teacher.
Other than buying a house, what do you think this means for you?
Honestly, I live close to the poverty line. So most of the things like purchasing, making a large purchase, are already out of my grasp. So making it another step unattainable isn't really going to dramatically alter my life. I've had to come to the realization that I don't see myself being able to move up into the upper middle class economy. I might be at most middle class my whole life. And it's coming to an acceptance of that realization instead of chasing after those things that I no longer think I'll be able to afford.
The Murrays might have to come to terms with the fact that they are not going to own a home anytime soon. Rising rates aren't going to make that any easier for the Murrays or for the housing market in general.
My name is Eric Jones, and I'm a freelance construction project manager.
Janet Yellen's going to raise interest rates. Do you care?
No. I bought a house a few years ago, and we locked in a pretty good interest rate. And I don't have a lot of outstanding debt, so it won't really have a big impact on me.
Are you worried about what it might do to the bigger economy?
No. It's been so long. I feel like we've been waiting for this to happen for a long time. And if anything, maybe it could have a reverse effect of inspiring some confidence in the economy that the Fed's actually willing to take that step.
Final note on the way out today, not at all related to the Federal Reserve, I should say. And although it might come too late for some of you, hopefully it will still be of use to others. The new Star Wars movie, as you surely know, opens on Friday. It's getting all kinds of press, as you also surely know, which is terrible for those of us wishing to avoid spoilers. Thankfully, the internet, the source of most spoilers, is here to help. There's a Chrome web browser extension out there that will block every mention of The Force Awakens you can find out there online. Force Blocker, it's called. We've got a link, thank God, on our website. Credit where credit is due for this one. By the by, thank you, Lizzie O'Leary. At the end of an epic at the Fed, the Dow up 224 points, 1.25%. The NASDAQ up 75 points, 1.5%. The S&P 500 rose 29 points, 1.4%. It will be, honestly, interesting to see what happens tomorrow, I think. Chris Clark, Jake Gorski, Bill Lance, Garrett Lang, Jeff Peters, Daniel Ramirez, and Charlton Thorpe engineer the broadcast for us. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We will see you tomorrow, everybody.
This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.